Hello, I'm Eric Jansen. You're tuned to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. This week, queer slices of Diva Fest. Maura Halloran plays two lesbian lovers, their cat and their nosy landlady in Pussy, and Genevieve Jesse plays herself, her hippie mom, and her southern big mama grandmother in Girl In But Not Of the Hood. Both are featured in Diva Fest, a celebration of female power and creativity running tonight through May 27th in San Francisco's Exit Theater. Pussy concerns the tangled heartaches and adventures of a lesbian couple whose love is on the rocks, their homophobic, bi-curious landlady, and the homicidal cat who's determined one of them's got to go. It's a tale of love, hate, sex, online dating, marriage, beauty, unicorns, vampires, and many more. Three outsiders whose fates triangulate around one spectacular cat. We'll hear from creator and performer Maura Halloran a little later in our show. In Girl In But Not Of the Hood, a young biracial woman, after finishing college, reluctantly returns to her mother's home in a gritty Oakland neighborhood. She'd almost forgotten about the bullying hood rats, the astrological chart readings of her hippie mother, and the drunken storytelling of her feisty southern big mama. Now that she's back, she wants out and for good. But getting out will prove a lot harder than moving in. The show won a Best of the 2011 SF Fringe Festival Award. I saw it last year and really enjoyed it. It deserved the top honor there. The creator and performer of Girl In But Not Of the Hood, Genevieve Jesse, is here with us to talk about her creation and perform some of it for us live right here on the radio. Genevieve Jesse, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
So the description of your show in the Diva Fest brochure says you can't go home again or you shouldn't. So what was your inspiration for writing this show? And it's quite autobiographical, right?
Right. It's totally based on actual events. After I finished college, I moved back home to the Bay Area. I went to school in New Orleans, and I got my first apartment that I was really excited about, but that I could afford as a 21-year-old. And so it was in a less than desirable neighborhood. And shortly after I moved in, a crack house sort of popped up next door, and I was thinking, God, why am I still having to deal with these same issues that I've been longing to escape for what seems like forever? And I wrote the show in just maybe an evening, the original
really?
Script,
okay, uh-huh.
But it's been developed so much since then. But yeah, that was the impetus for writing it, was uh-huh. being in that same conundrum that I'd lived through already.
Mm-hmm. And did you study theater in college? Is that what you were there for?
Yeah. I did. Mm-hmm. And I also have an MFA in playwriting, which I just recently got.
So the piece is about your family. It's about your mom and your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a couple pieces of the play you've prepared to read for us. Do you want to start with your grandmother, or do you want to start with, there's a bit about you being biracial in the beginning, how people mm-hmm. don't get that. If that makes sense to start there, then that'd be great.
Sure. So in the beginning of the play, I established that my father is white and kind of addressed that issue to my mother. So I'll do a piece wherein she responds to that. Well, Beebalot. My mom has always made these really strange nicknames for me, like Beebalot, Bajilot, Mollylot. They usually end in lot. It's like her own language. Beebalot, it wasn't because it was interracial. Big Mama said it would never work because of that. Well, Big Mama said a lot of things. I remember when I was a little girl and I loved the Beatles. One day I wrote a letter to Paul McCartney. I don't remember what it said. Probably, you're so cute. I love the way you sing. And I'll never forget, I read it to Big Mama, and she said, he don't want you. You a colored girl. And that is just so typical, Big Mama. It wouldn't have hurt anybody to let me have my fantasy. She just had to find a way to put me down. She always does. It's that moon in Virgo that makes her so critical. Well, I swore I would never be that way with my girls. You don't feel like I put you down, do you, Beebalot? Good. I mean, you feel good about yourself, right? Well, you know, you're a brilliant, shining star in the universe, right? I do not ask that all the time. You don't think bad thoughts about yourself is all I'm saying. Do you feel bad about being interracial? Is that why you're asking about this? Okay. You get so sensitive, it's just a question.
Yeah, okay. So what inspired that part of it?
Oh, my mom is, she's quite a character. I've been imitating her for years because she's such a colorful and wonderful and lively person. And she's been doing astrology since as long as I can remember. She doesn't make any move without consulting her ephemeris first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was so inherently theatrical that I was growing up in this neighborhood that was gritty and we were combating, you know, drug dealers. But in my home, in our walls, my mom was like this character from a movie. You know, she was, you know, quoting her, you know, you have Venus. She called me today and said that, you know, I was looking at your chart, Jenny, and I really think this is a good time for you because, you know, Jupiter is transiting. And that was my life, you know. So how could I not put that into a play?
You're not buying the astrology thing, huh?
No, I do. I totally take it in stride, but, you know, it's her thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how about your grandmother? Let's meet her.
Okay.
We heard a little bit of her just a moment ago, but...
Yeah. All right, so this piece about my grandmother, she loved to tell stories. So, you know, anytime I was at her house, she would sit me down and she would start going. So, it was April, now, June, 1947. Now, let make me 24. Now. 26, and I got off that bus and saw everybody walking around in these little light sweaters, and the weather was just as cool and nice. And I said, I like California. Hadn't seen nothing like that, never. Of course, you know, back home wasn't nothing but a little old town. Wasn't even a town. It'd be a house here. And then a few miles down the way, it be another house. Well, that was the country. Wasn't nothing out there. See, Mama and Papa was both from Louisiana. I never met none of they people. See, during that time, you leave from where your people at and you liable not to see them again. It ain't like now where you got a what you call it, Jenny? You know. You do know. No, not the cellular. I know the cellular phone. The Ninonets. We didn't have the Ninonets. Mama didn't even know her birthday. She just guessed something near about what she thought. Figured she married Papa when she was about 14, but she don't know. After Papa died, wasn't 6 months before Mama had married again some old man. She took LV and Percy, because they was the littlest, and went to live with her new husband. She left the rest of us in the house Papa died in. Even J.W., and he wasn't but 10. Coast. They just about all dead now.
Where did your grandmother grow up?
She grew up in Mississippi, rural Mississippi, and her family, they were sharecroppers. So from the time that she was really young, she was picking cotton, and I believe she had 8 brothers and sisters, so she was working. Mm-hmm. And she, I believe when she was 15, she left and started working for a family that traveled around. So that's how she got out of Mississippi. And she eventually met a man who she was dating or courting, as she would say. And he was courting her. And he moved out to California. And that's how she wound up here. Mm-hmm. He moved her out here.
So how the story is autobiographical. You really did move back from college to your mm-hmm. right in the same neighborhood where you were and lived with your mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how much did you have to change the story to make it into a piece of theater that, you know, as a piece of theater that people want to see?
Right. That was part of the challenge. You know, when I first wrote it, I kind of just jotted down all my thoughts. And then the crafting of it was, okay, how do I make this a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end? And so I really focused on giving my character a goal. In the story, it's this idea of getting out of the ghetto, getting out of the hood, and how can that be achieved, and what does that even mean to get out of there, someplace that's kind of a part of me. So that's really what I centered my story around, the dream of my main character.
Mm-hmm. Now, it says in this description that, you know, it's not as easy to get out as you think. Once you go back, it's hard to get out. So what... I mean, are you still living there?
Actually, I live in Vallejo now, okay. which has some of the same problems that neighborhood in Oakland did. But, you know, I think that
through exploring this piece and just, you know, growing older, I realized that it's not necessarily something that you just get out of. You know, it's something that you work on, and it's something that, you know, my mom still owns that property where I grew up, so I'll never be able to shake that neighborhood, because mm-hmm. she's going to keep that property forever. So it's a part of our family in a way. It's kind of, you know, personified, that property in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's still a part of me.
So you're a lesbian, but this play has nothing to do with your sexuality. Is that because you were younger and hadn't come out yet, or are there things about this play that you think speak to the queer experience, even though there's nothing obvious in it?
Right. Well, during the time that I wrote this piece, you know, I was just kind of, my sexuality was burgeoning. So it wasn't, you know, as strong of an issue for me, or, you know, on the forefront of my mind, in the way that those immediate things of coming back home and dealing with the same problems in the neighborhood were. But I definitely think it relates to the queer community, because the essence of this story is about feeling like you don't belong. And I think the queer community can definitely relate to that. I mean, you know, in the years I'm partnered, I'm actually getting married to my partner in June, as married as we can be.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. And so, you know, we still combat feeling like we don't belong. And we're getting ready to move to Virginia, and that's weighing on my mind. Like, will we belong? Will we fit in? It's not really
Virginia.
Friendly.
Okay.
You know, and that's the same thing that the play deals with. You know, we're American citizens, but, you know, are we going to belong? Are we going to be accepted? So I think every person, not just the queer community, everybody can relate to wanting to fit in, wanting to be understood and loved and accepted, but not necessarily feeling like you're getting it.
What do you think about President Obama's declaration the other day? If we can even call it a declaration.
I think it's been a long time coming, and I think that it has the capacity to swing this election in either direction. You know, it shouldn't be what determines whether people are voting, because I think we have huge issues that we're facing. But I think that it's such a polarizing issue that it definitely is going to have a huge impact. I mean, I'm thrilled, obviously. I want equal rights for myself and my family. But I hope that it's fruitful for many people, and not just for my family.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. My name's Eric Jansen. My guest is Genevieve Jesse. She is the creator and performer of Girl In, But Not of the Hood. It's in Diva Fest at the Exit Theater in San Francisco this Saturday at 4 p.m., 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Also Saturday the 19th at 8 p.m. and Saturday the 26th at 3 p.m. Diva Fest is a 10-year-old festival promoting the work of women in the arts. The theme for this year's festival is The Singular Woman. It features solo performance, burlesque, community mural painting, handcrafted jewelry, and more. The website for more information is divafest.info, divafest.info. If you would like to see Girl In But Not of the Hood this Saturday at 4 p.m., we have a pair of tickets to offer as thanks for becoming a member or renewing your membership to KALW at the level of $80 or more. That's just a little over KALW's basic $50 membership rate. You support great, diverse radio, and you get two tickets to see this great show. It really is good. I can't recommend it enough. That's Girl In But Not of the Hood with Genevieve Jesse, 4 o'clock. And so if you want those tickets, the way to do it is to call, because this is not in our online pledge system. We just got the tickets today, just one pair. So please call us at 415-841-4134. That's the studio line, 415-841-4134. And the first person who can donate $80 or more to support diverse local programming can have that pair of tickets to see Girl In But Not of the Hood this Saturday, May 12th at 4 p.m. Call now, 415-841-4134. And now we are going to hear from Maura Halloran, creator and performer of Pussy. What else? Oh, she dropped by our studios late Monday night after we both had long days, and that's what I'm blaming our silliness on. Maura Halloran, thanks for coming in to talk with us about your solo piece called Pussy. The central character is a cat, dear listeners. Maura, can you briefly fill us in on what your play's about? Who are the characters, their story in a nutshell?
Sure. Two of the characters are a lesbian couple, and the third human character is their homophobic, bi-curious landlady. And I would say the central character of the piece is their pet cat, who is named Pussy.
That's all? That's the only name she has?
That's the name of the cat. The cat is named Pussy.
So what inspired you to write this?
What initially...
We're both trying not to crack up here.
What initially inspired me to write Pussy was wanting to play a cat, actually. And it just so happened that two of my favorite people at the time owned a cat, and they were a lesbian couple, and it so happened that the cat was actually destroying their relationship because the cat loved one of them and not the other one. So I think there's actually a This American Life episode about the same thing where the affections of the cat became a love triangle between between the couple.
So how based on real life is this?
It started off as a very small piece. And then as it became a longer piece and I started to work more on the characters, they morphed into their own people and they actually morphed out of the couple that I was basing them on and into other people that I had known and just imagined what would happen if they were in a couple and ultimately were breaking up. So I would say it's inspired by true events is what I normally say.
And yet on the phone, when we talked the other day, you said you have not told your friends in Canada where you're from, that you've written this play kind of about them.
No, I never told them that they were the germ of this inspiration because, in fact, as I was writing it into a longer piece and as I was expanding it and thought, won't this be cute when I show them this piece that was inspired by them? They actually broke up. And it just never felt like the right time to tell them that I memorialized their relationship in a play. I'm not sure what the Hallmark card for that is. Still working on how that email would go.
So let's hear a little bit of this play. You, as in many solo pieces, you play all of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where you'd like to start. I loved your little brief reading of the landlady you did a moment ago.
Sure. Let's start with her.
Is wrong. Disgusting. The woman kissing on the woman. I live under. What do you think I hear at night? That's right. Nothing. No icky, icky, bouncy on the bed like Jesus wants. Just quiet. For many years I have this building since my husband died, God rest his soul. I am thinking, oh, this is nice Canadian lady. She have nice little pussycat, always pay rent, no problem. But then she comes, the English. And she is loud. She talks a lot. She is coming home late. Sometimes they are fighting, and then quiet. So much quiet. You know what I have think about in all this quiet? The woman kissing on the woman.
That's good. And you say she's bi-curious. That's what the description for the play says in the, mm-hmm. in the brochure for Diva Fest. So she doesn't sound very bi-curious there. What's that? Tell us more about that.
You know, I've labeled her bi-curious in order to summarize her character, but she doesn't know she's bi-curious. She just, between the hating them and paying way too much attention to them, I think she doesn't, I would say Anna doesn't really understand why she's so interested in this couple. But it does turn out as the play goes on that she really does like the one woman and her big issue is actually with the woman who's moved in with her and how much she hates her. But she's sort of projecting that onto not really being familiar with seeing women being intimate with each other. And so she's you know, fixed it onto that, but it becomes clearer as the play goes on that her real emotions are much more complicated about the situation.
And she doesn't like the English woman who's moved in, right?
Yes.
So can you do a little bit of the English woman?
I can, yes.
And as we were talking about before we started recording, there's a lot of F words in this passage, but we're going to try to blow right past those F words.
you said blow.
Yes.
Right, so this is Joe. Because at the end of the day, mate, I'm bloody English. And I do mean English, as in England. Not like British, not like inclusive of the Scots and the Welsh and the wanker bloody Irish. I mean English, like England. Like the centre of the empire that conquered all those wankers and then the rest of the...
thing.
Okay, well, we'll bleep that one out. And the rest of the...
I mean English, like England. Like the centre of the empire that conquered all those wanks and then the rest of the wanking world. Thank you very much. Oh, what did you do today, England? Oh, I conquered everything. Well done, England. Buy you a pint. Cheers. Thanks very much. No, England. Thank you. Thank you for teaching us all English so that we could communicate with each other and have a global village. All in a day's work, world. See what I mean? English.
And the cat, is it her that the cat doesn't like, or is it the
yes.
original Canadian? So the cat and Anna are on the same page.
The cat and Anna are on the same page. It's sort of like there's two love triangles going on. There's...
So why did this purely sensible Canadian lesbian bring in this English?
Well, Leslie is actually based on a woman that I knew who was... a gay conservative, and that's sort of a plot point in the play that you just don't find a lot of those in real life. And so Leslie, the character, sort of struggles with her participation in the lesbian community and ends up finding this British woman online. And this woman comes over to Vancouver where the play is set. And so what we're actually seeing is the tail end of their relationship, but that's sort of how they got together, was online. And then they're sort of in this situation where they're in this small apartment together with the cat, and the British woman's actually allergic to the cat.
And she didn't she know about the cat before she moved over? That's not one of the things they discussed online, apparently.
It's apparently they just didn't talk about it.
Okay.
It just didn't come up.
So you, as you told me on the phone, you are not a lesbian.
I am not a lesbian.
But you've written this play, and you seem to know a fair amount about lesbian life.
I do. I've had probably a statistically significant number of lesbian best friends, which is probably something I need to examine for myself. I would say if I was going to position myself in the play, I'm probably Anna. I'm probably the overly interested woman looking in from the outside, possibly creepy, possibly to a creepy extent. But, you know, the exercise started out as being about the cat, and then the lesbians around the cat were sort of... it was easy to play two women. And then I thought, well, it would be really easy, really interesting, actually, to play all the sides of a love triangle and keep them all female. And so in a sense, there was a mathematical inspiration for it. But then they all sort of became inspired by people that I actually knew as I started to flesh out the characters. So it just happened that I had known that many lesbians that I could create these characters who are, I would say they're all outsiders. And that was sort of important to me, was not to try to write what gay life is like from the inside. But from, you know, from outsider perspectives,
sort of an anthropologist's point of view,
perhaps a little bit, but also things that I had heard from real people that I don't see represented a lot in a lot of, gay media, I guess.
Or mainstream, you know, media depictions of gay people.
Or mainstream
perhaps.
Media yeah. depictions of gay people, yeah. But also, I guess, people who aren't out, you know, and who aren't comfortable living an out lifestyle, the sort of things that they're willing to say in private, not in a sort of predatory way where I'm telling anyone's secrets, but sort of it's hard to have your voice represented if you're not willing to speak out about yourself. So, you know, still including that identity in an artistic way, because that's sort of part of Leslie's problem is that she is not willing to. She's still uncomfortable with her identity, and part of her journey in the play is how to start defining that for herself as she realizes, maybe unconsciously, that part of her poor choices surrounding Joe might be because she's not that good at being lesbian yet.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And then Anna's identity of feeling these feelings that, you know, she's rejecting simply because she's rejecting that identity, and how that also plays into, you know, where does she fall within the gay community then if she sort of has these feelings and isn't willing to walk the walk, you know? So she has this sort of outsider perspective that is also based on someone that I knew at one point.
Can you do a little bit of the cat? Does the cat have, you know, many lines?
The cat is almost entirely silent except for licking. So the cat would sound like this.
And at what point in the performance do you bring that in? Maybe I don't want to. Maybe you shouldn't give that away. Maybe you shouldn't give that away.
Multiple
right.
times the cat. So,
but it comes clear.
Cat,
I mean, these
the cats
are,
lick themselves a lot.
They do.
Out.
I have
yeah.
a cat. No, but it seems to me that you know if the cat is so hates Joe so much, you'd think it would have some more. What does it do to portray this hatred if it's just licking itself?
Well, the cat actually is a transition point between all the women. So so you see the cat in between all the female parts. So the cat is sort of the cat in the cat's narrative would just be hanging out around the apartment and around the building. But the cat without, you know, spoiling any surprises, the cat does find ways to make its displeasure with Joe known.
I think I could imagine a couple having been a cat owner. thank you so much. So Pussy plays three dates coming up. The preview was the last night, unfortunately, but the this coming Saturday, May 12th at 8 o'clock in the evening, Saturday, May 19th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Friday, the 25th at 8 p.m., all part of Diva Fest. And at the end of the show, I'll say where you can find out more about Diva Fest, but I'm pretty sure you can Google Diva Fest. It's all at the Exit Theater,
yep.
exittheater.org.
Exit Theater, that's right. Diva Fest 2012.
And you're working on another show right now. If you want to say briefly what it is, you're like two rehearsals. You have the same day on May 12th, this coming Saturday, you have.
Yep. On May 12th, I have a performance for Bay 1X Festival. It's actually the closing performance for that show. I'm in Bay 1X Program 2 in a little piece called The Bird Trap by Bennett Fisher. And that'll be at 3 p.m. And then if you just want a whole day of Maura Halloran, you can then come to the opening of Pussy at 8 p.m. And once again, Pussy is a play about a cat.
Maura Halloran performs her play Pussy at the Exit Theater as part of Diva Fest. Three more times between now and May 27th. Find ticket info and more on Diva Fest at the Exit Theater's website, theexit.org. That's theexit.org. Or just go to divafest.info. I'm here with Genevieve Jesse. We're just about to finish up. And your grandmother has some exhortations about your show in Diva Fest, right?
That's right. Listen, go on out and see Diva Fest, because these ladies are doing beautiful things. And really, everybody just wants to feel accepted and loved. And so if you go on down there, they can show you some of that. What is that you call it? The theater, Jenny. Yeah, go on down there and see that theater.
We are in our Minimalist May membership drive at KALW. We have one pair of tickets for each of this Saturday's Diva Fest shows to offer as thank you gifts if you become a member or renew your membership at the $80 level or more. And because these tickets were just offered to us today, we can only do them over the phone. Please give us a call at 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134 for tickets to Alma, Colorado at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Girl In But Not of the Hood at 4 p.m. this Saturday, and Pussy at 8 p.m. this Saturday at Exit Theater as part of Diva Fest. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We thank KALW for studio use and airtime. You can sign up for free podcasts on our website, outinthebay.com, or you can also find nearly 6 months of past shows to hear on our archives page. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening and supporting Out in the Bay and KALW at KALW.org, where you can find plenty of thank you gifts, KALW.org, or call now for the tickets, 415-841-4134. Thank you so much.